Hello, dear visitor. We invite you to take a walking tour, Little Secrets of Big Nikolaevskaya. We will tell you the stories about the main city street, which at first was called Tract Street, then Cathedral Street, later just Bolshaya Street, which means big, and after the visit of the Crown Prince Nicholas, Big Nikolaevskaya Street. After the 1917 October Revolution, it was renamed to Lenin Street. Follow my instructions while walking. If you wish, you can pause the recording and continue when it is convenient to you. The starting point of the tour is the Central City Library, named after local writer Isai Kalashnikov, on 17 Lenin Street. Face the building and turn on the recording. You can see the building of the Central City Library in front of you, which used to be Merchant Mostovskoy's shops. At the end of the 19th century, a wealthy peasant Mostovskoy began the construction of stone buildings here instead of wooden ones. Later, these retail premises were leased to merchant Fedorov. These retail shops sold all kinds of goods, watches, clothes and fur, shoes, gold and silver products. When Fedorov left Verkhneudinsk, he left 10,000 rubles to the city council. By today's standards, it is about 15 million rubles. The capital he left remained inviolable, and the interest from it was given to the poor twice a year for Easter and Christmas. By the way, there is a version that the seller of the library is still keeping a treasure somewhere. Now walk slowly to the adjacent building, where the Sberbank branch is located. The building of the modern Sberbank building once housed the first Verkhneudinskaya public library. There was a very interesting system of lending books. So the annual subscription for the use of new books was 10 rubles, and for the old ones, 3 rubles. To understand these costs, it was possible to buy about 16 kilograms of rice for 10 rubles in those days. Now walk to house number 13 and make a short stop there. It used to be the house of the middle-class citizen Dmitry Pakalkov. The house after construction was bought by the city to accommodate public places, reception rooms, offices, and the treasury. The basement of the building held a cash depository. At the end of the 19th century, the police department was located here. Whether it is a coincidence or the tricks of the house spirit, but today the building performs almost the same function as before. The bailiff service is based here. At some point, there was a fire tower on the roof of the building because there was a fire station nearby, which still hasn't changed its location. Now let's walk toward the intersection, cross the road, and stop near the two-story building number 11. This stone house was built by Andrian Titov. The front yard of the house held one of the first weather stations of the city, the barometer for which was brought from Irkutsk. The second owner, a middle-class citizen Peter Frolov, donated the house with all its outbuildings to the city for a non-classical secondary school. In addition to this gift, Frolov also built a secondary school, spending on it about 28,000 rubles, about 20 million, if we convert this sum to money nowadays. Time flies, but the house still continues its pedagogical tradition and now hosts preschool children of Kalabok Kindergarten. Let's move on, cross the intersection and stop at building number 15-1, where the Silver Fashion Store is located now. All these houses, including outbuildings, belonged to merchant Mashanov, and at the beginning of the 20th century, the estate was owned by merchant Evsey Gurievich Tsigalnitsky. He was one of the richest merchants of Verkhneudinsk, whose income made it possible for him to provide a high standard of living for a family with 9 children, 5 daughters and 4 sons. Moreover, the first private car in the city appeared in their family in 1913. The head of the family was also the treasurer of the Verkhneudinsk Jewish community. All of them, the father and the sons, were successful entrepreneurs. Many business ideas of Verkhneudinsk belonged to them, and we will tell you about it a bit later. In 1925, understanding and estimating the post-revolutionary situation, the Tsigalnitsky family emigrated to France. Move on and stop at the intersection opposite Odigitria Cathedral. Here is the heart of old Verkhneudinsk, St. Odigitria Cathedral. Its construction began in 1741 and lasted for about 44 years. The temple was built at the expense of Verkhneudinsk and Kakhetia merchants and donations from the congregation. In the mid-1860s, a large bell was installed there, which weighed about 1,800 kilograms. The oldest book in the cathedral library was the church charter of 1700. The fate of the cathedral after 1917 October Revolution is both interesting and heartbreaking. In 1929, the cathedral was closed, the property was seized, and the icons were destroyed. In 1930, the bells were removed, and the last father superior of the cathedral, Gavril Makushev, was executed. After that, the courses for construction workers were held here, as well as anti-religious museum. In 1942, church valuables from Buddhist temples and Orthodox churches were hidden in the cellars of the Odigitria Cathedral. However, many of them were strangely lost. It was only in 1992 that the cathedral reopened its doors to the public. Now face the cathedral, turn left, cross the road at the pedestrian crossing, stop, and look at the stone two-story house to the left of the cathedral. This is the house of the merchant and the meteorologist Alexander Mardavskoy, who is known for the fact that for 30 years in a row, without missing a single day, he conducted his meteorological observations. Three times a day, the merchant measured the air temperature, wind direction, and visually determined the state of the atmosphere. There is an opinion that the instruments for such observations were also placed at the Odigitria Cathedral, but no documentary evidence was found. There are also reasons to consider the house of Mardavskoy and maybe the Odigitria Cathedral the first institutions of natural science research in the city. Unfortunately, during the Great Fire of 1879, when a very large part of the city center burned down, many meteorological instruments disappeared. It is said that they settled in the pockets of some dishonest citizens who took advantage of the general panic. This is the turning point of our route. Now let us return to the city center and look at the buildings on the right side of the street. Ahead of you, you can see an old one-story wooden house, number 14, which is hidden among modern buildings. Let us stop next to it. It is the house of a well-known dentist in Verkhneudinsk, Evgeny Milstein. He bought it in 1926. His doctor's office was put right here to receive patients and provide emergency medical care. The doors of the office were open 24/7. Milstein was not only one of the first dentists of Verkhneudinsk, but he also compiled the charter of the first dental clinic in the Transbaikalia province. In addition, Evgeny Markovich played the violin and the piano perfectly, and his friends and colleagues often got together at his house for musical events. Milstein was a respected and sought-after doctor in the city. Nevertheless, in the 1930s, like many wealthy citizens, he was arrested by the state political department, but he was able to buy off his freedom. Today, almost 100 years later, his descendants still live here, and they still keep abroad with his working hours. Walk further and cross the intersection. You can see several old buildings on 18 Lenin Street. This is the estate and the shops of merchant Yakov Nemchinov. Now walk along the part of the building with a store. These used to be retail shops that were leased by various tradesmen. Stop at the entrance near the arch and the statue of a young pioneer. Now the Forest Art House for Kids is located here, but the house used to belong to the richest man of Siberia at the time, Yakov Nemchinov, a millionaire, merchant, and major philanthropist, the founder of the Lena River gold mines. He was born into a poor family and started working as a tavern boy, and by the age of 60, he owned a huge capital of 84 million rubles. This house was not the only property of Nemchinov. He owned many houses in various cities of Russia, where he led active trade. Yakov Andreyevich Nemchinov and his wife Alexandra had 11 daughters and the only son, Andrei. Each of the daughters received a substantial inheritance in the dowry when they got married, 1,000,000 rubles. Now look up at the roof of the building. You will see preserved amphora along the perimeter of the roof. After crossing the road, you can look back and see the other preserved sculptures. Walk on, cross the intersection, and stop at a small detached building on 22 Lenin Street. This is the pavilion of the public well, which was built after the city fire for the convenient and fast fire extinguishing. When repairing the well, they found a vessel with gold jewelry and coins. Move on without stopping, past the Gostinoe Rose. They are located to your right. The construction of the Gostinoe Rose began in 1868 and lasted for 64 years. They have become an iconic image and the trading center of Verkhneudinsk. During renovations in the 70s, they found several treasures and a cache of gold coins here. Around the rose at the market square, which we are approaching, the famous Verkhneudinsk fairs took place in January and September. They sold goods from all over Siberia here, and the revenue of the entire fair reached up to 3,000,000 rubles. Books at fairs began to be sold only in 1878. Now turn right, where we can see the modern Revolution Square. In 1914, one of the first cars in the city gave rides to the public around it. One trip around the center cost 25 kopecks per person. The driver's earnings in the early days were up to 40 rubles a day. At that time, it was possible to buy 60 kilograms of rice, sugar, meat, or butter with this money. The first cinema of Verkhneudinsk, called Don Otello, was also located at the square. It burned down in 1909. Move on, cross the road, and continue moving slowly, without stopping on the right side of the street. Pay attention to the signs on the houses. It is easy to navigate with the help of them. And here we are in the world of trade shops of Verkhneudinsk. Have a look at the first house, number 24. This is Menshikov's estate with his shops. Here you can find anything: iron and cast iron products, wine, champagne, groceries, dishes, sugar, and of course tea, with which many Verkhneudinsk merchants made fortunes. In the 1900s, there was a movie theater here, and a laundry called Hygiene, where people had their clothes washed and ironed. Menshikov's house is adjacent to the shops of merchant Ivan Goldobin on 26 Lenin Street. Right behind the shops, you can see a wooden house. This is the famous mansion of merchant Ivan Goldobin. Let us stop next to it. What is it famous for? This is where Crown Prince Nicholas stayed in 1891 during his journey to the East. This place was not chosen by chance for the reception of the honorable guest. The Goldobin's house was famous for its hospitality and warm welcome. It was the cleanest and the most beautiful, the coziest and the most well-maintained house in the city at the time. The house was electrified inside and outside and equipped with good quality furniture. Ivan Goldobin was quite rich, and he had his own winery in the Irkutsk region. Now move on without stopping. There is a former state bank building next to Goldobin's estate. Its construction was completed in 1931 and became a significant event in the life of the city. And now, attention, it was built of red brick and covered with liquid glass. After the rain, it looked especially impressive. Later, the building was whitewashed. In addition to the offices, the bank housed a dormitory for employees. And a little later, a residential building for employees was built in the courtyard. Isn't it very convenient? You wake up, wash your face, and you're already at work. Walk to the red brick building on 30A Lenin Street and stop opposite it. This is the famous Kapellmann House. Another name for it is the House with the Atlantis. Just imagine, such a big and beautiful house was built in just 4 months. The owner was very proud of this fact, so he left the date of construction on the facade of the building. Look up and you can see it. Naftali Kapellmann was so wealthy that he was able to immediately buy all the bricks for the construction of the house, hire construction workers, artisans and blacksmiths to forge openwork stairs and balcony railings. By the way, the first Atlantis were ceramic-coated. There is still a fireplace and a wrought openwork staircase banister inside the house. There was a dentist's office downstairs where you could have artificial teeth installed by a specialist from Moscow. Here you could also visit the tea shop of Sim Tai Lun, the confectionery store Modern, or treat yourself in the coffee shop of Tsigalnitsky. In 1901, one of Tsigalnitsky's sons, the one who had the first private car, opened a cinema house here. It worked only from 7 o'clock in the evening, so that the children would not skip school. Now cross the street and move slowly in the opposite direction without stops. You see a pharmacy at the corner near house number 29. Exactly at the same place 120 years ago, the first pharmacy was opened in Verkhnyudinsk. The pharmacy often offered foreign novelties. The same Tsigalnitsky was one of the owners. The building in which the pharmacy is located belonged to merchant Peter Trunyov, the mayor of Verkhnyudinsk, a well-known public figure, local historian and philanthropist. Trunyov donated 60 lampposts and lanterns to illuminate the city. Thanks to his care, the streets of Verkhnyudinsk were lit up with kerosene lamps. He also donated money to Verkhnyudinsk prison for the decent maintenance of the incarcerated. In the 1930s, the Trunyovs, like many other wealthy citizens, were arrested, and gold was demanded from them. After long hours of interrogation, the Trunyovs were put to prison. It was a terrible irony of fate that the trustee and sponsor of the prison, Peter Trunyov, died of typhoid fever there, and his wife died the following year after him. The estate of Apollon Kurbatov is next to Trunyov's house. The everyday life of this house was organized in the European way. They had fashionable furniture, a piano, paintings, and a library. Kurbatov's estate became the center of Verkhnyudinsk's cultural life. The Decembrists, Bestuzhev, Obolensky, Pushkin, and Kuchelbecker visited here. One of his hobbies as a merchant was mineralogy. He had a unique collection of rock samples of Transbaikalia. He was also a co-owner of a glassworks factory and a soap factory. By the way, Kurbatov used his own funds and built a dam on the Selenga River, which has survived to our times. The next house adjacent to the arch also belonged to the Kurbatov estate. Some of these premises, of course, were leased. There was a fruit shop there, and all kinds of Japanese goods could be easily purchased at the store called Japan. The building next to it used to be Borisov's estate. The place is notable for the fact that in 1909, the movie theater Illusion was opened here. It became the forerunner of Erdem Cinema House later. Cross the road and stop at building number 23. This is the last point of our walk, the former estate of Lazar Samsonovich. There are two interesting facts connected with this place and its owner. The first one is rather funny. Lazar Samsonovich, a rich and successful merchant, was actually illiterate. He couldn't even put his signature at the bottom of the documents. The papers on his behalf were signed by his son Aaron, or people specially hired for it. The second one is rather sad. It was in the hayloft of Samsonovich estate that the fire started on June 10, 1878, and destroyed more than three quarters of all city buildings. By the way, the city immediately began constructing and restoring stone houses right after the fire, but with mandatory fire prevention measures. Since then, There have been firewalls between the estates, which, by the way, have been preserved to this day. You just need to look closely when next time you decide to walk around the city center and explore the places that you usually pass by without noticing. Today you have learned only a small portion of the facts, stories, and legends of our city. Ulan-Ude can surprise not only with its past, but also with its contemporary stories. The main thing is not to be lazy to explore it, to learn about its people and to hear its stories.